Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume. What up, y'all? It's T-Bob from Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Now, we're a college football show, but I'm a massive NBA fan. Now, I'm a Pelicans fan, which can be a trying existence at times, and well, the news about Zion's been no fun lately, but whatever. I love the NBA, right? And if you love the NBA, there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bob? Well, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and you know stuff going on all the time. When you win, very importantly, you get paid fast. And FanDuel has lots of ways to play, okay? Spread, moneyline, over-unders, totals, player props, individual same-game parlays, multi-game parlays. It's all there with the live betting. It doesn't matter if you're running up late, you got to your party late, you're hanging out with the fellas, the girlfellas, whatever. The point is, live betting, I mean, you can jump right in, you can bet with your friends, and you too can be cheering for these same things. So, what are you waiting for? Okay, download the FanDuel app today, and let's start to make every moment more with FanDuel. Promo code SNAPS. 21 or older in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369-NY. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to a brand new episode of Snaps, your favorite daily college football podcast. I'm one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert, joined, as always, by my guy, Aaron Murray. Aaron, what's up, brother? Day two, post-snip. How are we feeling, bro?
Blue, pretty blue, just in general and down below as well. That's the problem, a little bruised. Yeah. But a lot better, and a lot better, not going to lie. Kind of feel like I can go for a walk, but not going to do it. Just going to continue to sit here. And very happy, well, no spoilers here, all caught up on The Mandalorian. I actually have now leaped over T-Bob for being caught up with The Mandalorian. So it's been a very successful binging past 48 hours, caught up on all my shows, ready to go, feeling good. And yeah, a lot of golf YouTube.
a sad state of affairs for me when I have my Star Wars shirt on and it's Mando day and I couldn't even find the time to sneak away in the middle of my adult work day and watch Mando for an hour. I'm freaking pissed. I got sucked into some bullshit meeting where we accomplished absolutely nothing. And the entire time, all I'm thinking is, God, I wish you could be watching Mandalorian right now. Because now I'm not going to be able to watch until like probably like 8:30 tonight. Whoa,
No.
I know. It's like the amount of adversity that I have to deal with in my life would truly shock some people. But hey, man, look, I'm going to keep fighting, keep pushing forward. And again, like Jesus, if this is my cross to bear, so be it. I would ask God to take this cup from me, you know, and allow me to watch Mando. But if I've got to sit here and read Mike Tenenbaum's Hendon Hooker takes, and I'm going to sit here and read Ross Dellinger breaking down live NIL court hearings in federal Congress, and I got to read him visiting with Hugh Freeze, I will do what I have to do. I do want to do one thing here at the start of the show. So this is Snaps. Thank you for being here with us. You can always join us at live, youtube.com/thevolume, where we got our guys, Andy, Sneaky Pete, Blake, Greg, Darth, Thomas, Keaton, you know, everybody hanging out in here. Also, remember, wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, rate it and review it. Our views have slowed down a bit. Now, we're still killing Aaron, 4.8 out of 5. Mostly five stars. We got one. Here we got. Look, from my guy Mitch Max. Show is sweet. Turned every head in a silent study room at UGA with a semi spit take when T-Bob asked if Aaron was willing to swing meat on camera. Please don't change a thing. James R says best college football podcast is without a day. My favorite part of each day. Aaron and T-Bob compliment each other perfectly. Smog the dog, which I really appreciate. Snaps is a grand old time. He's one of my favorite college football podcasts. Dealing with the YouTube chat mod is not great. Sorry, Bill. But T-Bob and Aaron are excellence embodied. Hell yeah. Look, you can write whatever the fuck you want. And I promise you, and I need to get on the Spotify review, so I apologize. We'll do a better job about that. But I promise you, if you rate it and review it, we will read them on the show. And the reason why is it helps the robots push out the show, helps to grow the show. Okay. No more of that. Hell yeah, Greg. Your dad has great taste, is what I would say. As he said, his dad is now on Snaps as well. And yes, Blake Walters in the chat. We do have thoughts on the 19-year-old stealing $1,500 of beer from Death Valley, Tiger Stadium. We'll get there. We got Auburn talk for all you Auburn Tiger fans as they're in a just incredible time in their program history. You could tell how horny Aaron is, blue balls both literally and figuratively, as no orgasms allowed for a week for our boy.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. That will be the longest I've gone without orgasming probably since I learned to. I'm 10 years old. Forward to it.
Been about 34 years.
Yeah. Makes sense. The majority of my life, right? I've been doing it longer than I have, I guess you could say. We got a 247 sports list. How about that? Best fan atmospheres in college football. LSU taking home the top spot here.
Georgia Damn, Miller Hot Billy.
Down on the list, but I have some thoughts. What did Hot Billy say?
Hot Billy, continuing from our conversation from yesterday. On Eskimo Brothers, Hot Billy decides to continue to. And no, Greg Hendricks, I cannot free ball. I need as much support as I can. I'm actually thinking about going to Athens this weekend to watch practice and then also cup a couple of those jock straps. Like, I was a big jock strap guy when I played. Like, no tights.
Wow.
A little bit tights my senior year. But before that, I was straight jock strap. And they even had the jock straps with the built-in, like, side padding. Just jock straps with the pants.
Damn, that is old school.
Yeah,
I grew
sweaty,
up
hairy ass coming right through there.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably feels actually pretty good. I wouldn't know. I grew up in the age of the girdle. I feel like I always wore a girdle, but my old man played football, and so I grew up like going in and out of locker rooms a lot. And yeah, just giant men's very well-defined asses are like imprinted on my little kid head because I was just constantly at eye level with all these just asses and cups. Because I mean, that's all it covers is like your, you know, I guess your genitals and everything else that's basically it. Hanging out. Us. How are you? But I thought we were too young for jock straps. How did you get into that?
I think it was like some new wave that started, I would say like midway through college, where all of a sudden guys just want to start wearing jock straps, where they actually Nike built the ones with the pads in it. I mean, it's very freeing. I'm not going to lie. You go in the field. I feel like you can run faster, jump higher, all that good stuff.
God, that sounds awesome.
Just kind of just bought into it. Yeah, it feels great. So like, that's what I need right now. Like I need more support, not less support at the moment. So I may go back, see if it turns my wife on or not. If I get a little cup, you know, jock strap this weekend and go around the house with it, see if she wants to jump my bones next week.
So off the DL. The one that you would wear would have a cup built in, right?
Oh, I wouldn't wear
no.
a cup. No, I'm not wearing
okay,
a cup.
Okay. I thought, no. Okay, that's what I was getting at, because I feel like that would kind of restrict you. Okay, so you were just a little cloth pouch right yes. there. And just then a little pouch. Else. Dude, I want to wear a jock strap now. I don't know that I've ever actually worn one. It sounds wonderful, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. We have a thing called the Red Dress Run in New Orleans that I used to do in my 20s all the time. And imagine this, where you wear a red dress and you go running around the city. And wearing a dress is incredible. Like it
can we
is.
Please have a picture of this.
I can. Let me text my wife and see if maybe she can send find one.
Now that deserves a thumbnail right there. If we can find a jock picture of me in a red dress T-bop, like that will get some clicks.
But like the point is, the breeze that you get is unreal when you're in a dress. The ease of use when it comes to going to the bathroom is unlike anything you've ever experienced. I can only imagine that the only thing more freeing, and to add a little bit of like sexual edge to it, right, where you're feeling a little naughty, would be if you just went jockstrap under the dress for the red dress run. That's actually not a bad idea. Oh, there we go, Dart. Jock snaps. Exactly. This show. Man, I forgot where I was supposed to go with this.
Thank you, Hot Billy, for redeeming yourself in the chat. I 100% agree. Aaron's wife greater than the ex.
100%. Look, man, look, anytime your ex, and I can't speak to this because me and my wife have only ever dated each other, so I'm not one to talk on this to any form of authority. But in my mind, outside looking in, as long as you're happy now, if your ex goes and marries or is banging someone famous, it's kind of a credit to you. Like my little brother at one point, and I did not like this girl at all. That's not nice. She was a sweet girl, right? Which is also about like the lamest thing that you can say about someone. I just thought she was a little. Exactly. Right. I thought she was a little boring, to be quite honest. But like straight up, Justin Bieber ended up stealing his girlfriend, right? And at the time, he was very upset about it. But in my mind, I'm like, dude, that's kind of like a. Badass. It's like a bigger flex than you could possibly imagine to have Biebs come in and swoop in your old lady. That just means that you were really, you really had it going there for a minute. And I am in love with his fiance now. So I believe it was Rascal Flatts that wrote the timeless God Bless the Broken Road that led me here to you. And I feel like that's the type of situation we're dealing with here, Aaron. You know, you had to go through some of those downs to get to now two beautiful kids, no more kids on the way, a very attractive, hardworking lawyer wife. Like, you made it.
And a negative pregnancy test. A negative pregnancy test.
Oh, okay. I was messing with you. I told my wife that she was taking one. I was like, that was a relief.
She was more nervous than I was. She was like, because she said, when I woke up yesterday morning, felt nauseous. She was, I would have bet money that I was pregnant when I took the test. And,
no way. Like, good for you. Good for you. The opposite of F's in the chat for Aaron. Smiles in the chat.
Lots of smiles. No more kids. No more.
So huge thank you to The Volume for having us here. YouTube.com/volume. Hit the like button if you're watching there. FanDuel Sportsbook app is kind of behind all of us here at The Volume, right? And so another way you can help the show, sign up for FanDuel, use the promo code SNAPS. Great deals going on constantly. All right, so we got a lot to get to today. Should we start? I'll let you choose, Aaron. Dealer's choice. You want to start with Hendon Hooker, or do you want to start with Auburn?
Let's go with the Hooker man. Okay. Really, really fascinated by him. So let's start with him.
Well, okay, perfect. Because let's honor the world's oldest profession by giving the draft's oldest quarterback his just due. We are big.
Is he older than Stetson?
Oh, I actually don't know. I was more of doing like a prostitution joke, a hooker joke, very low hanging fruit. But you know, I thought it kind of married well with world's oldest profession, oldest quarterback in the draft. But thank you for stepping all over it and proving it wrong. Because I forgot that fucking Stetson was out here playing with 14-year-olds and acting like he was a beast. Like I couldn't go out there on a fucking junior high football field and become all state. Like get the hell out of here, Stetson. God, so glad he's done. No, I'm just kidding. I actually don't have that much emotion for Stetson Bennett. So Mike Tannenbaum, we said yesterday, had Hendon Hooker mocked at number 5. You know, pretty interesting that the mock came right ahead of his visit at Get Up on ESPN. But he doubled down today. Imagine that. You create a take so hot that you get to do more media about said take. Where he said on SEC This Morning with Peter Burns, quote, if he didn't have the ACL injury, we would have been talking about Hendon Hooker being in the mix as the number one overall pick of the draft. I know I love Hooker, Aaron, but is Tannenbaum out of pocket right here? Like, is he?
Yes.
Is he doing this for the media? And I'm not hating on that. I am not hating on that. That is quite literally the game that we are in, is find an angle that you believe in enough that also generates heat. But, like, do you agree? Is there validity there?
No. No, I don't think he's a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. I think he's the safest pick maybe of all the quarterbacks if you can get him. If you can get
what
him
if he didn't have an ACL
second.
Injury? Sorry.
No.
What if he didn't have an ACL?
Does not matter.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Does not matter. And, you know, because ACL injuries, you can recover from that. I think, you know, it hurt him in the sense he couldn't do the Senior Bowl, couldn't do the combine. I'm pretty sure he's still going to be able to do a pro day. Like, I did a pro day. And that's all they want to see. Like, can you drop? Can you show you're healthy? So I don't think it, like, drastically hurt him with the ACL. You are who you are. I'll tell you this. If you're going to be a top 5 pick or a top 10 pick and you're a quarterback, you have to have something that is extraordinary that teams buy into. Will Levis, incredible arm strength. Anthony Richardson, freak athlete. CJ Stroud, incredible arm and accuracy. Bryce Young, just an absolute magician in and outside the pocket. Best 2-minute drive quarterback that's in this draft. Like, they all have this incredible attribute to them. Hendon is just really good at a lot of things. Like, he's a good thrower. He's a good runner. He is really good size. Nothing is exceptional. And if you're going to draft a guy inside the top 10, damn it, he better be exceptional at something. He better be able to throw a football 80 plus yards. He better be able to rocket that thing in there. He better run a 4.4 or be a bulldozer of a runner. Like, there needs to be something that puts you over the top. He doesn't have that to him. He's well-rounded. He does, like I said, he does everything really, really well. So, like, I like him as a quarterback. Like I said, I think to me, he probably is the safest pick if you can get him into the first round, beginning of the second round. But I am not reaching for Hendon Hooker inside the top 10 picks, regardless of ACL, no ACL tear at the end of the season.
So, man, and I'm desperately trying to find that article from a couple of weeks ago that we talked about, where ESPN looked at all the grades and the numbers and pressure when it came to deep balls, accuracy out of the pocket, the deep out, and said, okay,
is there anything that wows you about him? Is there anything?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
That just, like, wow about him.
So is it not the deep ball?
He throws a good deep ball, but he also threw a bajillion deep balls all year. That was their offense. Like, it's a good deep ball. There's nothing. 100% it is a good deep ball. His middle of the field accuracy at times was an issue. Balls were high. Balls tend to sail. Obviously, there's questions about that offense, you know, how much that helped him over the past 2 years, you know, take his game to another level. I mean, the offense is pretty awesome for a quarterback. You spread everyone to the damn sidelines. It's vertical routes and vertical stops, And then with a light box, you have a quarterback run or a running back run. Like, there's not a lot to it. I love it. I'm not trying to hate on it. I'm just saying, like, there's not, you're not demonstrating a lot of NFL type throws in that system. So there's that question mark too. But you being able to throw a nice 40, 50 yard deep ball doesn't scream to me, oh my God, like, I threw a good deep ball, T-Bob. I threw a great deep ball. I'll praise myself a little bit. I threw a great deep ball and a great back shoulder fade. You being able to throw the ball 60, 70 yards does not mean you have a rocket arm. A lot of quarterbacks with mediocre arms can throw the ball 60, 70 yards. Freaking Stetson Bennett can throw the ball 60, 70 yards. The velocity in which you can throw it, the velocity in which you can throw intermediate passes, is that's the difference. And Will Rogers or Will Levis can do that. Definitely not Will Rogers. Will Levis can do that. I don't know if Hendon has that type of arm talent. It's good. It's not wow, phenomenal, elite. That's the difference.
And I guess maybe I didn't even mean it from a pure arm strength standpoint, but more of just like his placement of it and whatnot. Yeah. I can't, Brum, well, if you good. Can help really me good. Find this article, that would be incredible. But I guess you ask me, Aaron, okay, what does he do that wows you? But kind of like you said, I guess, where does
it factor? What's his it factor? Like, what's the thing he says, you know, if all four of those quarterbacks sit down with the GM or coach and they have like, what makes you elite? Will Levis.
Well, but that's the thing. He's giant, but he's more athletic than Will Levis. Even if he's not as athletic as Anthony Richardson, he's way bigger than Bryce Young, but he has far better film than both Levis and Richardson. So like he has like far better.
He's really good. He's here. Like, you know, some of these guys are this year, like, but they all have that exceptional, extraordinary talent, whatever it is, that is far superior. He's just really good at everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. But like, really good is like, you know, your boy Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins. That's middle of the pack, eventually NFL quarterback. Like, if you want to be an elite quarterback and if you want to win Super Bowls, you need a quarterback that's a top five quarterback most likely. And that top five quarterback better be freaking amazing at something in order to get there. And I just don't know if he's that.
I guess so. But I guess where it's breaking down in my head now that we're talking this all out, you're telling me that even though Levis's film is pretty shit, yep, because of the zip he has on the ball, that makes that much of a difference. Yes. And obviously,
there is that NFL arm. I mean, it's okay. He has you know, Josh Allen type arm strength. And because the thought of the people I've talked to, if you're gonna whiff on a quarterback, you better whiff on a quarterback that is a badass in some aspect of his game, because you can fall on that sword. That Anthony Richardson is 6'5", yeah, 240, runs a 4.4. Like, he's the best athlete in the draft. We have to draft him, and we'll figure it out. I had to draft, you know, Will Levis because he has an arm just like Josh Allen. You know, like, there are credible excuses. What am I drafting Hendon Hooker for? Besides just being really good at everything, which is great. But there is
really big and really athletic.
He's good size.
I mean, right? He's about 6'3", 6'4", about 220.
Great size.
He can run. He can extend plays. Like, he seems to check all the boxes. And yes, he's a bit older, but I'm not entirely sure that's a negative in a day and age where you're trying to get as many wins on the rookie contract as possible. One could argue that that's actually a positive for Hendon Hooker, because he's going to be more mature. Maybe he adjusts to the professional game faster, and he's still going to be on that rookie deal where you can kind of craft team around. Hell, with Hooker, you're probably looking at a Jalen Hurts situation where you can really team build around him, because his deal is going to be even cheaper than that of Levis and Richardson. I guess, so Aaron, you say, what does he do well to break into that grouping? I understand that. It is still odd to me, though, that since he does everything pretty well, and he's a proven winner at a place where it's been hard to win for 15 years. Yep. And he has the maturity in these meetings and everything, like schematics, but that's fine. I mean, but like, then again, like, Anthony Richardson's tape is awful. Will Levis's tape is awful compared to Hendon Hooker's. And so I guess I'm just wondering why the gap, not between Bryce and CJ. Okay. They are clearly separated from this other group that I'm talking about. But it's just surprising to me that the gap could be so large when in the same way you're saying there's nothing that Hooker does great. What does he do badly?
Like, nothing. I think Hooker's great.
I can point you so much stuff that these other quarterbacks do badly.
Yes. No, I really like Hendon a lot. Like this to me, I'm sorry for those who are listening that are you're thinking like I'm some Hendon Hooker hater. I think Hendon was one of the best quarterbacks in college football last year. You know, if it wasn't for the ACL, I think even with the ACL, I made a huge push for him of why he should have been in New York for the Heisman. Like, I think he's a great pick. I think he would be a incredible steal if someone wanted to do a Teddy Bridgewater, like I said yesterday, trade up and lay in the first round to get him early second round. Like, I think that is incredible value, but I just don't see the value of a top 10 pick. I think Washington has the 16th pick in the draft. I can see him maybe getting picked up by Washington. Shoot, the Detroit Lions at 18, are they married to Jared Goff because he had one great year last year, a really good year last year? I don't know. I could see him landing, somewhere like that. Like anywhere, I would say, below that middle of the first round to early second round, I think is good value for him. But like I said, man, there is a sense of expectation and pressure that comes with a top 10 pick and from a GM, from a coach of who they're getting, where I just don't think he necessarily crosses those boxes off. I think Hendon Hooker being drafted, say late first round is to me way better value than getting Anthony Richardson in the top 10.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going guard. And then on top of that.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's fair. But like you said, a lot of times when you're picking at the top of the draft, there's a lot of encouragement to make the selection of the guy who just is the unicorn, right? And that would be Richardson. And again, if you've never seen videos of Levis throwing on air, it is damn impressive. The ball looks like it's like shot out of a shotgun.
I didn't realize it was him. This was like a year ago when he had this quarterback workout and he's like flicking it. He's in this little indoor facility.
That's the exact one that I'm talking about. Yeah. That's the exact video I saw. It's
freaky.
It's kind of sexual. It's borderline sexual. Yes. Problem. You should maybe see if you can look that up actually. And I'm sure if you just Google like Will Levis throwing on air or something.
I mean, you can't tell me if you're watching him throw the football, you're not like, I mean, watching Josh Allen, when he was coming out, like standing next to him, watching him throw a football, saying, "I've never seen anything like this." And I think people get that, you know, little tingle, like we talked about in the pre-show, that little tingle when they, you know, stand next to Will Levis, he's yoked up and he's flicking it like it's like a damn baseball, and he's turning to as a shortstop, flicking it 50 yards on an absolute rope, like that kind of makes you feel some sort of way. And like I said, Hendon doesn't have that.
It's funny. That video you're talking about is literally the best thing that I've ever seen out of Will Levis. Like better than any game that he actually played. That was the best I ever saw him look. Airborne Vet, which shout out for your service, says Will Levis threw more interceptions in that Tennessee game than Hooker did the entire year. Again, man, like Aaron said, maybe Hooker's not top five for whatever reason. He does potentially represent huge value. I'm a big believer in Hooker. I would love it. I mean, the Saints would never do this because I think they have other bigger needs, but even to take like if he somehow dropped you in that early second round, maybe take him there and see what happens over time. But so we don't agree then. We don't agree that Hendon Hooker is going to be a top five pick, but we both still love Hooker.
Wait, we don't agree with the analysis, or we don't agree with each other?
No. We don't think he's going to be a top five pick. I don't think that I don't think I know quarterback play to necessarily understand where the huge disconnect is between Hooker and Levis and Richardson beyond it being the ACL. Like I had accepted the very base, the ACL, and that's kind of holding people back. But if you're telling me that in a non-ACL world that he still wouldn't be in those conversations, I don't necessarily understand that. What I am saying is that I do think that you're a better judge of this and that you know more what the NFL is looking for in a quarterback, obviously. And so I'm trusting your analysis that, so he's not a top five guy. But we both still seem to really like Hendon Hooker, and it works perfectly because
I think he has the potential to be a top 20 quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, here we go. Here it is, dude.
I mean, look at that.
That is – wow, just that one right that there. Flicking the bean is something else, I think. But he sure is just throwing the rock, tossing the pill. It looks ripping. Like, you know when like you hear throws being described as a frozen rope? A couple of these deep outs look like a frozen rope. And if you're listening on podcast, I apologize, but youtube.com/ 104.5 ESPN. Did we ever figure out, is he actually scared of milk, bro? Did we ever figure
that
out for sure?
Not as scared as I am plugging the wrong show.
Wait, did I do something wrong? What I said?
Yeah, you said YouTube 104.5 ESPN.
Oh, God damn it. YouTube.
It's all good. We have not confirmed the milk thing.
Okay. I mean, it still is. It's odd because it came from a legitimate reporter, but there's been no confirmation of it, so we'll still, you know, we will not offer a final.
It seems like teams no one is willing to milk this story.
There we go. Well, and you know, I mean, that's why this whole setup about me agreeing with you on Hooker, Aaron, was only to say we like hookers, but you know who loves hookers? Hugh Freeze. And let's talk about Hugh Freeze down there at Auburn, as Hugh Freeze is on the Plains now, dude. And I got to say, dude, I think now these are the type of jokes that Hugh Freeze has had to learn to deal with, right? He actually talks about it in the Ross Dellinger pieces. Ross went down there and spent some time with Hugh Freeze. Like, I am starting to think more and more that Hugh Freeze is going to pop off at the Plains, okay?
Yep.
I think that he knows how to build a college football winner. I think personality-wise, he is the inverse of Brian Harsin in that he fits in perfectly with the Auburn crowd. I think he has a new $91 million facility, which looks pretty damn nice when you're bringing recruits through there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of economic buy-in in terms of NIL. I mean, look no further than this. Here, this is just to explain to you how weird and toxic Auburn has been. In the last 12 years, Auburn's won 3 SEC West titles, 2 SEC championships. They played for 2 national championships. They've won one. And yet, they have paid $45 million in buyouts over the last 5 years. Now, to give you the idea about economic buy-in, they've paid $45 million in buyouts, and they just built a $91 million football facility, and they have a bigger NIL war chest than almost anybody else in the country. So it is crazy. How much money Auburn is willing to spend to figure this thing out. And I believe in Hugh Freeze. I think they've actually got someone who's going to be able to get them there.
I'm with you. And you should just be lucky that he's not on Twitter. So he can't tweet at you for your bringing up bad things in the past. He is. I do like that. He has matured. You know, if you go read the article, he kind of talks about like, yeah, I think he has his daughter now running his Twitter. And an assistant as well, like not feeling like he has to go out there and take shots at reporters, everything, every time, you know, someone says something. Good for you. Like, he has matured and grown as a human being and as a coach. And I'm with you. Like, I think he's in a spot right now that is obviously proven to have success. They've been the 2 natties in the past 13 years. They've won one of them. They've won multiple SEC championships. You can recruit to Auburn. Nick Saban can't be there forever. You know, the only negative is with the way the SEC is going, you're going to have to face Alabama and Georgia every year, but you do get Vanderbilt most likely. So yeah, that's the only kind of moment where it's like, okay, how long is it going to take for them to build? But there's plenty of talent. They got the facilities. I do think they have a great coach that is a proven winner in this league. He's a great recruiter. They got the NIL. I mean, there is nothing not to like about the situation that he's in right now. It's just, can he get out of his own way? That's it. Like, can Hugh Freeze just stay out of his own way? Which, I mean, I was with him. I mean, I had the Liberty game versus Arkansas, and we sat down with him for like an hour on Friday night, and we talked about the situation, and we talked about, you know, if you do get an opportunity to go back to the SEC or a Power 5 team, what makes you feel like you are more capable of doing it right now? And the big thing was the maturity. It was the being humbled. It was, I made a mistake as a man. I had to humble myself, and I feel like right now I am in a better position to handle being a head coach of a big time program like Auburn. And I do. I think he is ready. And you know, he's also, you know, if you read the article, he's not going to be calling plays or going to be taking a little bit less maybe authority when it comes to play calling. A little bit less. Phil Montgomery is going to be running the show mostly, but he understands too, and we've talked about this on the show before. As a head coach right now, your responsibilities are so much that you have to delegate a little bit. Like, his footprint will be on the offense, no doubt about it. But I think that there will be more, you know, kumbaya working together with Montgomery to make the offense work instead of him trying to feel like he has to do it all.
So he did talk. He pulled a little bit of a Jimbo with the play con stuff where he mentioned everything you said about, you know, nowadays, like, I have so much on my plate that, like, I want to delegate more responsibility to Phil Montgomery. But then he would go on to be like, but, you know, can I really give up play calling? I've certainly never even really thought about fully giving up play calling. Do I only call the tempo version of the offense? So, like, Hugh Freeze is still going to be involved in some play calling capacity. That said, Phil Montgomery will be more involved, I'm sure, than any other Freeze. It will have more power within that relationship than any other Freeze assistant ever has. And you mentioned on Twitter. So his daughter, Reagan, who's now his executive assistant, and Kennedy Harvey, who is the on-campus recruiting operations director, they now control his Twitter as Hugh says, he had to come to grips with the fact that he cannot change people's opinions of himself, right? And it's funny, he's learning the lesson that if you're my age, you probably learned a bit earlier, the lesson that I'm sure kids nowadays grow up knowing, which is that there's just no winning arguing people online. There's just no winning. And I'm not perfect. Every now and then something will get me to maybe clap back at somebody, but it never does anything. No matter how witty or funny or however bad you think you got them, all you did was give them power because you responded to them, and you lose in the end no matter what. So Hughes finally arrived there. Good for him. I also thought it was good for him. And by the way, I actually, on a human, on an interpersonal level, I have only positive things to say about my actual real life interactions with Hugh Freeze, who's at Ole Miss when I was being recruited there. He was probably the guy that I liked most on that entire staff. The one that was so kind talking to me years later. He's like randomly DMing me on Twitter asking, you know, about stuff that like, how did you remember that? Like he, again, on, I know I get these jokes off and everything, but yeah, I really liked him on a personal level from the interactions I've had with him. I also like how honest he was about where Auburn's at, right? You don't finish in the top 15 in recruiting for 3 years running. You're going to be behind Alabama and Georgia significantly. And he says, quote, we have a ways to go to close the talent gap. I know how that comes across, and it's probably hurtful for some to hear in the locker room, but that doesn't mean I don't care about them. We're going to coach the heck out of them. They are ours. The truth of it is, just from watching the workouts, we don't have the SEC type depth right now that some of the others who are playing, that some of the others are playing with for whatever reason. As a player, Aaron, would you be upset if you saw your head coach say that, you know, there's a huge talent gap between you and your peers and that we don't have the SEC caliber guys that we need right now? I don't know that I would. I actually think I want this kind of honesty from my head coach.
Yeah, let me listen. In an era of transfer portal, like I want to know where I stand. Like I want to know, like, do you think I'm good enough to play here or not? Because if not, I get a free go and I can go somewhere else and play. Like I don't need you to tell me, like, oh, I'm so excited that you're here and I can't wait to coach you and I think you're going to be an all-SEC guy. And no, like, be upfront with me. Like, hey, listen here, you know, this is where you need to improve. We are looking to possibly bring in some more guys in the portal. This is where you stand. And let these kids make an educated decision of do they want to stay or not. Because at the end of the day, too, you may want a lot of these kids to leave as well. Like that's like we talk about it from the power standpoint of the player having the opportunity to hit the portal if they don't want to, you know, if they feel like this isn't the place for them. Also for these coaches, just like Deion did, you know, we all bitched at Deion for doing something similar. You kind of look at your roster and say, damn it, I would probably love 10 more scholarships if there's a way I can get these 10 dudes to get the hell out of here because I don't want them part of this team because I don't think they're good enough. I would let them know. Like, use it. Hey, kid, like, I don't think you're going to start here. I think you should probably look somewhere else. Like, sorry, there's not a spot here for you. So I would rather, as a player, you be up front. I think it's good for the player. I think it's good for the coach. I think it's good for the overall team. And you said it. Like, they haven't recruited at a high level. We all know they don't have a stockpile of 4- and 5-star guys. There is a depth issue there if they want to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world in the SEC. So, but I do think he'll recruit fine. I think he'll hit the portal fine. I'm more interested to see what he does at the quarterback spot. You know, Robbie's a talented kid. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the fastest kids on the football team. He's a tremendous athlete. He had moments of throwing the ball well last year. You know, needed some more. I think they're one of their bigger issues. They haven't had, you know, a really talented receiving core for 2 years. You know, the Holden kid, I guess, has done really well in camp so far. I know he's more of a talented thrower than Robbie is. So you kind of have to find the balance between them. Obviously, TJ Finley's back as well. So step one, figure out the quarterback spot. Do you need to go get someone after spring? And I think you need to find some more skill guys at the receiving position as well. So there's a lot of holes. You know, Harsin wasn't the right guy, but they're also deficient of a lot of spots. And like we said, they also didn't recruit well. So they got to figure a lot of things out personnel-wise.
Yeah, Harsin wasn't the right guy and therefore is the reason why they're deficient in a lot of those spots. He could not convince people to go to Auburn. In fact, he did a pretty good job of running people out of Auburn. I think Freeze will get it right. I think, but I mean, what does get it right mean right now? Is Auburn the third best team in the West next year?
Ooh, they have a chance. They have a chance. Hey, listen, if you were going to start coaching Auburn, this would be the year to do it. You know, at least you get Georgia and Alabama at home. You know, maybe you can find a way to sneak one of those wins.
Ooh, dude, yeah, I would still say that the year one.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue for him, honestly, is the fact that you're not at that level. Like, this will be honest. Like, they don't have the talent of Georgia and Alabama, and it's even though you got them at home, that's a bigger challenge. But you're more on the playing field of A&M, and maybe you could say LSU with talent, and say Arkansas. But like, you have those games on the road. Like, that kind of sucks. Like, week four, you have to go to A&M. Like, that would be one, if you had them at home and you won that game, you could say, okay, yes, maybe we are the third or fourth best team. Like, to say in year one, you're going to beat the two of the best teams of the past, you know, 7 years in Alabama for the past decade plus.
Hell no.
That's a tall task. But if you came in and beat A&M in year one and could beat LSU in year one and took care of business for the schools in Mississippi, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, he's on the right track. But two of those games, A&M and LSU on the road, and in between that's the game versus Georgia. That's kind of, to me, that's the make or break of, are you in the middle of the pack, or are you kind of towards the bottom of the SEC West, and this is a bigger hole you got to climb out of?
So I don't know exactly how this changed following this most recent offseason. But if you look after transfers and everything this last year, if I could get this freaking ad off of the screen, I think Auburn was about at 52% on that blue chip ratio chart, 54%, whereas LSU is at 66, A&M is at 70. So, yeah, if you're winning those games, Hugh Freeze is doing a hell of a job, because you are punching up relative to your own talent. So I think eventually they're going to be very good. Aaron, pop quiz. Who are the two other coaches active with multiple wins over Nick Saban?
With multiple wins over Nick Saban?
Active multiple coaches. Wins multiple wins over Nick Saban.
Multiple wins. Dabo?
Correct.
Nice. No idea what the other one.
Gus Malzahn. Does Kirby have multiple yet?
Nope, just one.
Wow, what a poor boy. How about you get your wins up, Georgia? Just one. Wow.
Gus Malzahn. Should have been two. Should have been two, but yeah, just one.
I'm sorry. I finally found the adjusted chart I was looking for after transfers and everything. Auburn is down to 50% on the blue chip ratio, so barely breaking in to that 50% threshold, of which you kind of have to have if you want to win a national title. All right. Anything else on Hugh Freeze? It sounds like we both think it's actually going to be a pretty good marriage out there on the plains.
Yeah. Just don't screw up. I think that the
just don't screw. Okay, good. Great. Warriors, every risk is risky. Excellent.
Just be a good person, which I think he's in his soul of souls is a good person. So I think
he's a good guy. I just think he got a little horny. Okay. And I think, you know, a lot of us would give in to similar horned up temptations potentially if you had all this money
in about 3 days after about 5 days into what I'm dealing with right now. I'm feeling
well, and a lot of times, it's not everybody. But, you know, the preacher's daughter is a stereotype for a reason. Sometimes the most religious people can tend to be the horniest, because kind of fighting against that natural lust is such a big thing in your mind that it ends up being all that you kind of think about. So, well, look, whatever. The point is, if you had as much money as he had, you're on the recruiting trail, like, you know, a lot of people maybe go sideways. Now, if you did, I would hope that you wouldn't use a university issued cell phone to set up your meets, right? I mean, get a burner, use cash, like there's ways around this. But yeah, I don't think it necessarily makes you a bad guy. You know, that's for your family to judge you, not really me as much to judge you. So who knows? I think Hugh's gonna actually be kind of solid. there in the plains. Only time will tell. Real quick here, Aaron, 247 Sports came out with a wait, do we have a hard out at 45?
We do not. Let's go nuts.
Okay, okay. Just five more minutes in here. Best atmosphere in college football, according to 247 Sports. Number 12.
I knew you just had to get this in here. You just had to get
11,
this in here.
Tennessee, 10, Michigan, 9, Nebraska, 8, Texas A&M, 7, Florida State, 6, Wisconsin, jump around, 5, the Swamp,
woo,
4, Death Valley of the Clemson variety, 3, Bryant-Denny in Alabama, 2, Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know about that number, one.
Number 1, LSU. Look, 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 look. I agree. If, okay, so I wonder, are we talking about...
I'll be fair. I've never been to Bryant-Denny Stadium, but like what I've heard, it's not like this incredible environment.
So I did not think it was loud at all in 2009, yeah. And then they did some additions and they raised it up to 100,000. And I would say in 2011, it was, you know, that was like game of the century. So obviously everybody's juiced up, but that was one of the, probably second only to the Swamp. For my own like personal experience, I guess. Here's the only thing I'll say about LSU at one, and maybe this goes for every list on, or everybody on this list right now, is that yes, when LSU is at its best, I do believe that
Like the whole atmosphere, though, not like in the stadium, but like outside the stadium, the tailgate. Like that's how I view this. So like LSU is known for the tailgates, the gumbo.
Yeah, no doubt.
That experience plus Death Valley, the noise.
It's just that you like, only sell out like one together. Game a year, though. It's like Florida's in the same boat. Florida doesn't sell out a majority of their games. It's just, it's a lot to deal with. If it's a shitty team, nobody wants to go sit in 3 hours of traffic at 11 at night trying to get home. Like, it's just, I mean, these are problems that I know a lot of people. So I guess, I don't know. Is it like that at Georgia? Like, does Georgia pack out every game? Now, y'all are in the middle of the dynasty, so is every single game full to the brim? Well, see, then I think they deserve a spot on this list. Because I know Florida isn't. I know LSU isn't. So I'm really only bringing this up to see, maybe at their peak, this list is accurate, but you got to be a little careful with some of these lists because I don't know that LSU is really deserving of the number one ranking on a week-to-week basis. And I'm a bit surprised at the more wine and cheese crowd of Alabama still breaking in here when they've had their coach admonish them for leaving games early and the ticket prices have gone
definitely
so far
not up that only
richer
five.
Richer people.
Definitely not top five.
No. Yeah. I mean, I would have Tennessee in the top five because they fucking sucked and people still go to all the games.
Yeah.
I would put them in there.
I mean, I would put South Carolina up there too. South Carolina fans are freaking rowdy. Yep. They're there all the time. All the time.
I agree. I think, you know, I'm glad to see Nebraska in there. Matt Rhule, going to get it done. I bet you Nebraska is so easy to get out of because everybody just drives like in their own direction over the cornfields. Like it's just all one giant flat plain and there's no roads and you're just allowed to leave and spread out from the stadium anywhere.
It truly is amazing how poorly designed Baton Rouge is.
I feel bad for them because it sounds so lame to talk about, so we don't need to talk about it, but traffic is screwing up game day attendance and there's no clear
solution. No good solution. It's literally back up against a river like it's a fort.
Like you're fucked. Like you're just fucked. This is what it is.
Just keep drinking and partying at your truck.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what you need. You need a coach that can foster the belief that we're going to win this big game. So I'm going to stick around the entire time against Alabama. And it doesn't matter that I won't get home till 3 a.m. because at the end of the day, I'll have an epic story to tell.
So I think the difference with Athens and why it does get so packed is because you've been to downtown Athens. Downtown Athens is a 5-minute walk from the stadium.
Yeah,
so, like, you get to experience the campus, the stadium, and then you don't have to go home afterwards. You have to go sit in traffic if you don't want to. You can go get some dinner, go get some drinks, go watch some live music, get whatever you want downtown. It's like it is a full day of jam-packed experience where like LSU – you know, they don't really have that. It's like, go to the game, sit your ass in traffic and go home. It's just long, 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 long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's the same reason why the Saints Superdome is so badass in New Orleans is it is baked into the city, meaning, you just walk and go party And then you can go home whenever you want to after that. Hot Billy says, who's a bigger legend at their alma mater, Burrow or Stetson? Bro, it's
Burrow.
Joey B. Like, I don't care if Stetson won more championships. Joey B is the closest thing that I've ever seen to like a god king. Like a modern day, like, you know how, like, if you were an ancient Egyptian and Pharaoh was your leader and you didn't view him as a human with the title of Pharaoh, you viewed him as a literal god. That is how people talk about Joe Burrow down here. The amount of Cincinnati Bengals jerseys and flags and little kids in Bengals shirts that you see here now is absurd. I will be shocked if you see a similar impact in Athens when Stetson leaves.
I mean, it's also a massive factor that Burrow left LSU, was the number one overall pick, and is now arguably
won the Heisman and had literally the great
in the NFL.
Yeah,
yeah,
and had the greatest individual season in the history of college football.
Yes, 60 touchdowns. Jesus. Okay, last thing. Deputies arrested a 19-year-old LSU student after he and a group of men allegedly stole over $1,000 of beer from Tiger Stadium early
Sunday morning. Let's go, Baton Rouge.
According to arrest documents, 19-year-old Bryce Talata and a, quote, group of college-age males were seen by LSUPD carrying several cases of beer around 3 a.m. on Sunday. When the group saw the officers approaching, they fled and were not found. The police later used video surveillance to find the group loading those cases into a black pickup truck, which they tracked down to a dorm parking lot. And found the, it really made it hard there for them, boys. They found the owner and they went into their dorms and they found the missing beer cases. In the end, approximately $1,500 of beer stolen. I mean, it's fantastic because I've been all throughout LSU Stadium, like for like spring practices and stuff. And in the concession areas, just wide out in the open, there are massive upon massive amounts of beer that are basically sitting there with a giant steal me sign, right? Like it's almost inviting you to do so.
Teasing you. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's almost like it's like a classic mousetrap situation. Like that stinkiest of cheeses is sitting there just making your stomach growl a little bit. But little did they know that there's cameras and that the police will go through the effort of tracking you down to find this beer. Like they were definitely drunk walking by Tiger Stadium, thought, oh bro, let's break. Oh my God, look at this beer. And then next thing you know, they're arrested.
Did they drink any of it? Do we know? Was anything?
I'm sure.
Was yeah. All right. Sure. That's all that matters. At least get one beer.
$1,500 of beer. How many cases did they load up into that truck?
It's a lot.
I mean, I know stadium prices, you're probably playing like $15 a beer. So I don't know. Still, that's wild. Legendary stuff.
Just save some for me. Save some for me for the spring game in about 3 weeks. That's all I ask for.
Plenty
of beer. Your boy's going to be, we just got figured out today. I want to be on the field doing the game. So.
Oh, really? Little field
level. Even more of a chance. Even more of a chance to bring you in on the call.
Hell yeah, dude. Get me in there. Give me a little local, a little local cred with the viewing audience. All right. Also, we have to figure out a way to promo snaps while we're on there. ESPN gods be damned. We love you all so much who hang out with us every single day here. And we just thank you for doing it. So again, back to the beginning show, like the YouTube video. Hopefully one day we hope to have our own YouTube channel where it can just be us, but you know, we'll see. If you listen on podcasts,
I'll just put it in there.
Well, I'm trying to apply public pressure to Brum and Company to like,
yeah, I see that.
Like, let's do it.
Hey, Brum, if T-Bog gets to throw a wish list, can we get a damn TikTok already before they get rid of TikTok?
Sounds like a platform we need to be investing in right before they cancel it in America.
Yeah,
and then
realize why you can.
Also, if you listen on podcasts, rate it, review it, okay? And we'll get back to reading the reviews. But it's been a little bit before since we've had any. So if you're listening, you want to jump it up, go ahead and pump it up, review it, whatever stars you want. Just write something funny. so that we can read it. Probably 5 stars. So, all right, we love you. Thank you to FanDuel. Thank you to The Volume. Thank you to Ryan Brumley, Adam Gracia, Paul Farrington, Pat Gunner, Danny Cardenas. Thank you to Aaron Murray. Thank you to everybody hanging out with us in the chat. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow for some Thursday snaps.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.